Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome to the Brown Load, boys. How are you? All right?
Very good. How are you?
Yeah, good. Satch, you okay?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. I'm all right. I'm just a bit like a bit disorientated because we're back on this again.
Yeah, we're back online, but it's my fault because I'm not at home. And normally you'd come over to my home. Guess where I am right now?
Go on.
Have a little look at this little image around me and all that. I'm not in London.
Hang on. I think you've gone in a time warp back to the 70s or something.
Or you're in India.
Why do you say that?
Just looks different. Like, do you know, like the screen's all fuzzy and stuff.
The light is slightly whiter than white. You know, like the light you get in India.
Yeah. No, you're not far away in a way. Because of the way you're going. No. I'm not. Because I'm not in India because I can't travel to India. That'd be impossible for me to be there.
No. But, and we can't see you for a couple of weeks if you were.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm in Birmingham, but more specifically, what you're looking at is my mother and father-in-law's bedroom.
That's why I've come. Lovely. To.
Yeah.
I mean, I've always wanted a little insight into their bedroom.
Yeah. So they probably have gone a bit desi on the kind of light tube light thing.
Tube light. Are they in the room, in their bed?
Yeah, they're asleep. Can you keep it down, please?
I love it. We are in the inner sanctuary, of your in-laws. I mean, not only is their son-in-law in there, he's brought his best two mates in there as well.
Exactly. Wow. So right now, we can officially say the Brown Load broadcasting live from my mother-in-law's bed. And my father-in-law's bed,
Brilliant.
They're waiting to go to bed. But I said, you have to wait. The problem I've got is school holidays. So the missus wants to come up here, see her mum and dad, see Nunny for the kids.
Yeah. Well, up in the bedroom as well.
Well, yeah, they're all here. It's a one-bedroom house. That's all it is. So everyone sleeps together.
They're going to kill you. They're going to kill you.
And my wife's nephews and nieces are here as well. So all the kids, there's lots of kids kind of running around playing together and it's noisy in the rest of the house, and the kids are being put to bed, some of them. So I can't go in certain places. It's just weird. So I've just had to kind of come to the most quiet room, which is the mother and father-in-law's bedroom. So there we go. Thank you for joining me in my in-law's bedroom.
This feels like, do you know that show with Keith Lemon, Through the Keyhole? It's like we've got a full insight into a house in Birmingham.
Yeah. They've got a padded headboard.
I do like that. That my mum and dad used to have one of them ones back in the day. I used to love that because then you don't need a pillow to sit up and watch telly.
Yeah, but it's like a padded headboard that's almost like screwed to the wall. Do you know what I mean? So
let's guess the colour of the padded headboard. Satch, you've got one guess.
Oh, I'm just going to go like maroon.
Oh, I was going to say that. I'm going to go navy.
Okay, Satch, you're the closest.
Okay.
It's like a peachy maroon colour. It's like a pinky peachy colour.
This is quite the boudoir bedroom, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so. And matches with the carpet.
Is the bed
as well.
Heart shaped?
No, it's samosa shaped. It's triangle.
Of course it is.
Now look, it's just funny to me that I'm like, I'm going to go and record the podcast for my parents, my in-laws' bedroom. This is bizarre. I think of all the activity that may have gone on in here, and now the Brown Load has gone on in here, so it's lovely. So Yeah. Welcome live from the in-laws. But that's, you know, we're not here just to talk about that. Here to talk about how's it all going? How are you guys? What have you been up to? Tell me about life in London. Is everyone okay?
Yeah. It's all good here in London. As we were, weather's rubbish as per usual. We've been experiencing just, I don't know what's happened also. We had that heat wave and everyone moaned about it. And now we're going through this phase where it says 22 degrees, doesn't feel like it, gets cold at night really quickly. At times it feels like we're going into autumn, but I have brilliant news for people who are listening to the podcast as it releases this week on a Thursday, which would mean that it is the 5th of August. You have to only wait 6 days. I've got the exact date as when the heat wave is coming back. 11th of August.
It's official. Kedge never lies. He never gets the weather wrong. No. If you've been listening to this podcast from day one, you'll know he is 100% accurate. So I'm glad I bought a waterproof Mac this week. I'm glad I've got that ready for the 11th of August. I genuinely did. I bought a waterproof Mac because we're gonna go climb Snowdon, me and the missus, in a couple of weeks' time.
Oh,
we're
going
a little trek. And they said, get this waterproof Mac. And now I've realized, thanks to Kedge's heatwave news, which basically means it's gonna chuck down next Thursday.
Yes.
I'm now ready for it. Thanks, Kedge. It's cool.
Yes.
It's cool.
Trust me.
You've got to know how to work the information, that's right. So actually, are you ready for heatwave next week?
Will I'm kind of ready, but in a weird sort of a way, I'm thinking he might actually be right, because I've been hearing this too, but it's been a bit extreme in my case, because I'm seeing stories of it saying, oh, it's going to be over 40 degrees for the first time. And I'm like, oh, hang on a minute.
Wow.
I don't think so.
That 40 degrees. Is insane. That's like, that's serious. A, number one, seriously dangerous. And B, you can't do anything in that heat. That's too much heat. I don't think, what's your optimum temperature? I'm a 27. I love a 27 degree holiday.
That's a bit hot.
That's not hot at all.
What?
You're going to go, I do love a 32 or a 33.
Oh, no, too much. 32 again, you're going to burn. If you stay out there too long, you're going to, 27 is fine.
I'm going to change that. And I'm going to be like, if it's abroad where you're on a beach and stuff like that, you know, nice bit of breeze and stuff. 35, 36 is lovely.
Yeah, easy.
But if you're in London and it's over 30, it's
yeah. Yeah, 30 degrees in London is like, it's kind of kills you all of a sudden.
Yeah, I don't want to do that again. So, basically.
And just being at home when it's over like 30 odd degrees, your house is muggy, you're sitting on the sofa, the bedroom feels muggy. It's, you know what I mean? There's no fun in that.
No, and because of the weather being rubbish this week, I went to an indoor activity and I thought, you know what? You guys would really love it as well. I went and was part of Ninja Warrior.
Did you really go and do that?
Yeah, but it's not the actual TV show.
No, I know. I figured that you wouldn't be on because they're actual athletes, a lot of them, and they actually have to qualify.
And it's Australian, isn't it?
They have Ninja Warrior in the UK.
No, yeah. But I'm sure the actual set is not here.
No, they've got Cammy and Ben Shepherd presenting it here.
Yeah, but I'm sure it's in like South America or something.
No. You're getting mixed up with the other one. That's not Ninja Warrior.
Wipeout. Yes, sorry. All the same.
Yeah, but they got Wipeout in the UK as well.
Mm. But you're right. It kicked off. It started in Argentina, actually. So actually, that's it. I think it was. But you're right. I think I saw Ninja Warrior or Wipeout, one of the two, the Australian version, hosted by Freddie Flintoff. So I think there are lots of international versions of the show.
Yeah.
Kedge, you went to the one where in Ahmedabad?
No, it's the one just in Watford. It was brilliant. Can I just
in Ahmedabad then?
So there's two sections. There's obviously like an inflatable area, which, you know, all the family, kids and everyone can get involved in it. You know, it's got some good bits in it, but it's more about, you know, sort of like an assault course, but with, you know, it's all inflatable. And then they've got sort of the more realistic course, but there's two of them. And like there's one which is like absolutely impossible, all upper arm strength, body strength, and you've got to hang and you've got to, oh my God, it is just so difficult.
You'll be all right at that. You can hang because you're light.
No, but I've not got that much strength. I'll be honest with you.
I think you're a good swinger.
Well, funny you said that because the first part of the other course was the swinging bit where you have to sort of swing through five bars, which are going upwards, and then you've got to get across and come down again and swing down. And I didn't think I'd do it. And I did it. And I got everyone there clapping. Everyone started clapping. I was like, I outdid myself.
Yeah. And clearly you exceeded their expectations as well. They were not.
They thought, who's this, you know, sort of lucky man going in and you know, trying to sort of hang tough from these things. But it was quite a challenge. And then obviously they got the wall at the end. You guys would love it. You got to run up that wall, you know, which is like vertical.
Brilliant. Yeah. Did you make it?
Yes.
You made out the wall?
Yes. First time.
Without a bunker.
Yeah. Without sliding down. That. To be fair, I think that's quite an easy bit.
The wall is when you're exhausted, you've got to go sprinting at it and then get the grip at the top.
But because the way this assault course was, you do a lot of, so there's the hanging bit, then there's the bit where you have to sort of step through these like swingy kind of planks things, which is, so it's, again, it's more of your arm sort of supporting you. And then you've got to do, the awful was really hard. They're like these panels, flat panels, which are suspended like with string, and you've got to sort of hang on to it and then climb round them and then jump onto the other panel. You've got to get through that was odd.
Because you've got nothing to really grip on. You just got to use your thigh grip and all that.
Well, yeah, they've got like a bit of holes, you know, like a cheese slice. So they've got like random sort of holes and edges, which was a challenge. But I tell you what, it's good fun. Make sure you guys do it. It's brilliant.
Did you land in the water at all? No, there's no water.
There's no water.
That's the fun bit.
I agree.
I do. What always surprises me about Ninja Warriors, it's the simplest of little things that can mess these athletes up. These athletes are like, yeah, I've done this and I do 7 marathons in a row and I've climbed Ben Nevis Everest just using my teeth and all this stuff. But yet, and they fall on the first thing, they just slip. Is it easy to make an easy mistake?
There were a lot of people who would, you know, like sometimes you think, oh, I'm going to reach for the next bar and you just slip. Or, you know, like there was that, you know, there's that bit in the beginning where you have to go left foot, right foot, you have to jump side to side. Really? People, it's amazing to see people where their foot was landing and where they thought their foot would be landing. And actually they were close to the edge or missing it. It was interesting. Wow.
There you go. All right. So it's a Ninja Warriors available for booking. Well done, Kedge. Kedge is clearly on a plug. Satch, is this where you mentioned KFC or McDonald's?
No. I don't want to plug anything, but I do want to kind of share one story that happened to me this week. And it was actually yesterday. So on the Monday, so the beginning of this week. And it was the fact that I had to go and get a jab done, but it wasn't a COVID.
Another one.
Because I've had COVID jabs. It's actually because I'm going away at the end of the month. I'm going away for work. I'm going to a place that I've never been before. So I needed a certain type of vaccination, let's say. And
okay, so not a COVID one then.
No, it was one for yellow fever. So I've never had one before. So I went
there. Where are you going?
I'm going to West Africa, Ghana. I'm going to Ghana.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. So I'm not here in a couple of weeks, by the way. I'm going to work.
Oh, DJ. Are you sure it's not a mix-up? Then they went, oh, we get a DJ, we have a bit of Ghana, Shona, and you've gone, okay, yeah, Ghana, and they all got mixed up, now you're going to Ghana.
Anyway, but forget all of that. I'm looking forward to that. But, I mean, you know, I went to the, because you had to go to a pharmacy. You can't go to a doctor to get this jab done because only certain like specialist pharmacies do it. So I went there, and the guy scared me to death in the sense of, like, he was trying to, number one, he was trying to sell me every vaccine under the sun. So, like, hepatitis, this, A, B, C, rabies, this, that, and the other. And, like, I was kind of sitting there. I felt a bit scared as if I didn't want to go away anywhere. And he was just like, oh, if a bat scratches you, then you need to, like, you know, get this certain vaccine and stuff. And I was thinking, that's never happened to me ever before. And I've kind of traveled to a lot of places in my life.
If a bat scratches you, you're getting COVID. Forget anything else, mate.
Oh, I mean, I definitely don't want a batty scratch.
No.
Yeah, maybe that's what he meant.
But, I mean, maybe. But, I mean, you know, I was kind of looking forward to it. I was thinking, yes, I'm going away again for work. It's going to be exciting. And then he put a downer on my week. So it kind of kicked off a bit, kind of like, meh, don't know.
I don't want to put another downer on your week.
Oh, here we go. No. Please, Kedge.
I've just looked at the latest COVID cases in Ghana, and it says it's skyrocketing. 6,276 active cases. So it just says...
Yeah, but that's, if I'm honest... Don't worry, Satch. That's regular Ghana. You know, and I know these Kenyan weddings, Ghanaian weddings. Is it a Desi wedding?
Is it a Desi wedding, right?
Yeah. Right. So Desi weddings in Africa are always big.
Of course,
they've got loads of money and they do it good. You're not going to be mixing with anything other than 5-star hotels. You're
other than you're going decks. In off the
yeah,
and that too. That's, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So you'll go straight in. And I think it'd be a wicked jolly. You'll have a great time.
And I'm glad, Tommy, that you're on the call because, you know, one person had to bring it the negative way. And I need to be there to give it the positive spin.
You know, amongst the pandemic, Tommy, I'm going to go backpacking in Ghana. Not that you would ever say that ever, Satch. In fact, of all the people in my whole life, Satch is the least likely to do anything like that. But, you know, I think you have a great time. And I reckon if they're getting you over, they've probably got some big name sort of performers, some kind of Bhangra performers or some Bollywood-y stuff. It will be a good jolly. Weddings like that.
So Satch, does that mean, have you downloaded the NHS app and then got your COVID passport sorted?
Yeah, all sorted.
What's this guy? Look at his grass. He's trying to set you up. No, listen. You can tell by his tone. No, that's out of order. Because he's not trying to check on your well-being. He's going, he's doing that tone that people do when they
There's no right. tone.
It is the tone. I know the tone. I'm married.
I just had to do it because I'm going to a test event on Sunday, and where they're trialing out the COVID passports.
I've had that thing for a while. I downloaded that as soon as I had my second one.
It's on my phone. Yeah. So, but it's weird though, isn't it? Like, I just want to explain though, because obviously you've got to sort of go through, you know, like enter your name and your birthday and all of this kind of thing, and it finds your records, and it obviously does find it. But then to prove who you are, you have to take a photo of your passport or your driving license.
That's right.
And then there's a video bit where they. they give you four numbers and you have to record film yourself saying four numbers, and it took me so long because I didn't know whether I have to smile, do I have to say 4071, or do you go four oh, and they went, oh no, it's not oh, zero, and oh my god, it was just such a, but it is quite a long procedure, but it takes about 24 hours for it to come through. So if anyone's, you know, thinking about doing it, I think, you know, crack on with getting this passport.
Get it done.
What's the answer, separate numbers or 4071?
Well, I don't know, but I went separate numbers and it seems to have worked.
Okay. There you go. Ked is giving you the answer. And what if it's not 4071? Should you still say that? And then they'll get access to your details.
Imagine if they do.
Is that your PIN? Basically?
No, they give you the number.
I'm surprised he didn't do it in Gujarati.
Or you can write it down and then hold it in front of you. There is an option for that as well, but I don't know, it's just a sign of the times, isn't it?
I think going back to that whole sort of sign of the time thing, like, I mean, at the moment, for example, like, I'm out and about everywhere, I'm at an event more or less every day nearly, and then some days you get home and you feel a bit sort of run down and the first thing you think of is, am I positive?
Yeah.
Do you know? Because it's just like an automatic thing.
I thought you meant...
you're Kedge. Negative.
No, but do you know what I mean? Like, you just... And then I'm like, okay, cool, I better do a test. I just end up testing every day now. It's just...
Sticking things up your nose now.
You have to, because, like, you know, it's all well and good you getting sick, but, you know, you don't want other people to get it, so you have to be on top of it. And the thing is, because I'm out so much, it's the sort of responsible thing to do, I think.
Yeah, and I think you're right. And like, even when I did a comedy night, Kedge, around the corner from your house, when you were at Ninja Warrior on Sunday night, I was in Watford at Cassiobury Park, and they do the tests, lateral flow tests, and the temperature checks then. And it's, in a way, it's just kind of reassuring because you've got like little top-ups telling you along the way, you're still all right.
You're all right, mate.
You're still dodging it. Well done. You know, like kind of staying there. I don't know if that's the vaccine working or whether... I just haven't got it.
But don't you think sometimes that the test is a bit of a blag as well? Just, you know, it's in the back of your mind. Am I doing this properly?
Well,
I agree with you, Satch. I don't think I'm doing it properly.
Where are you putting it?
Well, no, it's going there. But you know, like on the instructions, it says make sure it doesn't touch any part of your tongue or your mouth. Or like,
but it does.
Of course it does. There's no way you could enter that into your tonsils without it touching any part of your mouth. I'm sorry. That's just impossible.
Yeah. And
the one up the nose, I find so uncomfortable.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, my God. Like, I'm triggered. I'm so triggered. Like, my eyes will be streaming. My nose is running to the extent that I have to do it in the day at home, recover, and then go on stage. Because if I went on stage, like, people go, what's happened? Someone's died. Tommy's crying his eyes out.
That could be part of your routine. You do a test on stage.
Oh God! And you know what? It's not a good look because I'm reaching.
Yeah, no, it's not. Exactly. But it's we would find it funny.
It's not a good look, definitely not. And like you know, I just want to get to a point now where we don't really have to do that. And you know, you can just feel like, oh yeah, you know, I've had a busy week. I just feel a bit run down. I'm happy with that. Yeah. I'll stay in bed for a day or whatever.
I put Nuzzard on myself because do you remember? And I sent this to you. I didn't post it because I felt out of order. But I took my dad for his drive-through COVID test.
Oh yeah.
And he made the most freaky noises in the car.
And now
my dad, you know, he doesn't hold back on being dramatic. You know, when he needs to be, he can go for it. I wonder where I get it from. And and because I did that, and I was cracking up, I laughed so hard at him. I sent it to my siblings. I edited it and all that. And now I'm suffering. So there you go. It's just it's payback.
It is payback, but on a positive, and I know, you know, some of those times, I think we should mention the Olympics because I think it's been brilliant, you know, especially for England and even, you know, India have been doing well as well in the ladies, the hockey, the men's hockey. They've been killing it. Yep. They're both in the semifinals. And did anyone see the BMX gold medalist? Oh, my days. She was absolutely incredible. Like,
what was so incredible about it?
Mate, she did some flips which were unbelievable. Like you can't even fathom in your head how you would even go about doing it. Like it was just incredible. And so she obviously, because you get two rounds. In the first round she did it, she tried to do this really difficult flip turn, whatever it was, and she didn't land it. She failed. And so you're thinking, well, you know. It's, you know, in your next round, you're not going to go for it again, are you? Because you know, at the end of the day, you want to win a medal. The American lady had done really well. You know, she thought that she was going to, you know, absolutely kill it, and you know, thought she was going to just sort of breeze through it. And then all of a sudden, Great Britain's Charlotte Worthington came out and pulled that trick off again. My word, it was
unbelievable. And landed it.
Yeah, landed it, and there was just it was a whole run. You know, doing a forward flip on a BMX. Like, I mean, I thought I was skillful when I used to stand up on the bar.
Oh, you know, could you do that? Yeah,
I could do that. But I mean, most people could do that.
Yeah. Did you have the pad? Do you not have the pads over the bar though?
Yeah, I had to have the pad. Yeah. Yeah. I had to have the pad after I fell on it without the pad many a time.
Yeah. You got stud nuts. You have stud nuts to give your mate a crossy.
Fully stud nuts, spokes.
Did you have the frosty spoke things on it?
Frosty spokes, the frosty reflectors. And then the ultimate trick was you'd get a can of Coke, empty one. You know what you do with it, don't you?
Shove it in the brake.
Right over it, goes around the back, sounds like a motorbike.
back to the Olympics. I mean, and I'm still struggling this time because...
With what?
Just generally watching it. Like, I'm a really big fan of the Olympics. I love it. But this whole timing situation is not helping me because... It starts in the middle of the night, which is weird. And then, like, you know, for example, the other day I watched I think it was the women's 100-meter finals, and it was on at like 2 p.m. in the afternoon. I'm like, this just don't feel the same. Like, I'm that race needs to happen at 8 p.m.
But what do you want Japan to do? What do you want to you can't move Japan into a different time zone.
No, I know you can't do that, but it's just, well, then save it and show me at 8 p.m. because I'm in the mood for it then. You see what I mean?
Why can't you have a 2 p.m. final? Sports day was always 2 p.m. in the afternoon.
But that's different. I think, I don't know. Like, but to be fair, I did see the 100-meter women's final, and that was amazing. Jamaica came 1, 2, and 3, so they got gold.
Wow.
And I watched the 200 today as well, final. The lady
You know why these countries do so well at certain things like running and all that? It's because of us, and I'm sure you must know some stat about this. Apparently it's running barefoot. If you run barefoot, you're building up the muscles in your feet beyond. So the more the world develops and all these fancy trainers come and all that, we're going to get more and more rubbish. It's the countries that are still keeping it quite raw and basic. So I've got hope for India.
Well, no, I don't think India are really going for the track and, you know, the track events. I don't
know. But, I mean, I'd say in the next 10, 15 years, it's going to happen.
They should be killing it. They've got the biggest pool of people. Well, the second biggest pool of people in the world. Like, what? Why have they not got?
I just don't think the infrastructure for the athletics is there yet. Do you know what I mean? That's why, like, hockey obviously is a national sport. You know, it's every country's different, isn't it? Yeah, exactly.
They are good at the hockey. But back to racing, the 200-meter women's final, the lady who won the 100-meter won the 200. So she's won a double gold. And I thought, that is amazing.
Yeah, but that's normally what happens, isn't it? Normally.
Yeah, no, but she was like the Usain Bolt for the women's, basically, yes. Yeah. From Jamaica. She was miles in front of the rest of them. And I thought, good on you.
But it's a different... I know you're going to say it's the same thing, but it's a different kind of discipline having to do 200 versus 100, because 100, the breathing is different, the pacing is different. Yeah. So fair play on her. She's proved herself to be a great by game. I'll smash both because I'm just able. I have the ability. Good on her. And big up Jamaica. There you go. Well, first, second, and third. I'm proud. You're a tiny little island. You've got like 25 people max. That's your population. And yet you're smashing it across the globe. I'm going to do this. I'm going to liken Jamaicans to Punjabi.
Oh, yeah.
They're known. You know where they go, they're known. Do you know what I mean? Jamaicans leave a mark. Punjabans leave a mark. Punjabi people, you know about it. They have a good time. They're loud. They're leery. Jamaicans are a bit like that.
Right. So you're twin town, Punjab and Jamaica. Twins,
but just that kind of.
No, but like people, if there was a twin, you know, sort of state and country, it would be Punjab and Jamaica.
It should be. It should
about, be. Yeah. What about Gujarat then? What's that twin with? What country?
Well,
I'd say Germany.
No, we're not that efficient.
Oh yeah.
He wants it. No. Listen, I'm drawing a comparison based on what I see. Kedge is like hopeful. He just wants to be like the German football team, German banks. So he's just projecting. Yeah. Gujarat.
Can I tell you an interesting observation I saw this week? I don't know how I even came across it, but it was on my timeline and it was a map of India, right? And it was all the states and the number of injections that you know each state received. Gujarat by a country mile has had more vaccinations than any other state in India. Punjab is lagging so behind. And
yes, that's because Modi's just sorting out his own. Modi's kind of going, you know what? Let me take care of my uncles and my chachas first.
And then South India was bare. North India was bare. But the Gujarat rammed like loads of vaccinations.
Priorities. VIP.
I don't think that's the case. I think what it is in Gujarat, and I've seen this, I've seen loads of stories, they're just giving out fake vaccines over there. Maybe. It is a thing. It's in the news.
Yeah, there are a lot it's of fake vaccines. There's a lot of fake vaccines,
which I think is wrong. That shouldn't be happening. So maybe half of those numbers are probably fake anyway.
Maybe. But you were bigging up Jamaica. I need to big up Scotland. Another small country, but is now leading the way. And the Scottish government is urging to lead the way by introducing 4-day working weeks.
Ooh.
As almost 9 out of 10 employees are supporting this idea.
Of course they would.
Well, maybe not, but I think what they're saying is that 87% of they had this massive poll. They said 87% of people favoured a 4-day working week.
Of course they would.
And they want to pilot it at the moment. You still get the same salary, maybe slightly longer working days. And I was like, I don't know, though. You get a longer working day, though. It would be much longer.
How much longer?
Well, you're going to have to fit in another 8 hours work, probably, haven't you? So 2, 4, 6, 8, and up by another 2 hours each day, I would have thought.
A 10-hour day is what you're saying. So it becomes 10-hour days.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
I think there's a lot of people that would rather do that. And I think some people would rather work from like 7 a.m. till 4 p.m. or whatever, whatever it works to get their 10 hours in.
Yeah, 7 to 5.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
Oh, I don't know.
And I think I'm looking at it from a point of view of, because obviously I work mostly weekends. This just means I'm going to have another working day.
Really?
Yeah, because it's now a 3-day weekend, isn't it?
Oh, so you get another DJ day.
Yeah.
And I'm that's not bad though, Satch.
Not sure if I want to do that though.
I thought the most interesting stat that came out of this poll was that 52% of the people were unhappy with the amount of free time that they currently have.
Yeah, but I tell you why that is. Because we don't know what to do with it. This is the problem. Again, firstly, by the way, I want to just quickly say, I've heard so many people say recently, more recently than ever, how beautiful Scotland is, right? Yeah, and if you go further north into Scotland, there's some incredible little islands and things like that. And it's just so scenic and so beautiful. You'll never see anything like it. They're untouched, unspoiled, no hotels, no bars, no Costa coffees or KFCs. It's beautiful. So I can imagine if you live somewhere like that, then you should be enjoying your environment more. You should only be working 4 days a week because you should be there to soak it all up. And if you look at, actually look at the whole of life and man and everything, we work too much. I don't think, I don't work 10, you, I work whatever hours are going. Do you know what I mean? So if you get up, you need to send emails and do stuff, it does it.
Yeah.
Look, here we are. It's now 10 to 9 at night. We're recording the podcast.
Of course.
I've got to do some preparation. Tomorrow's India versus England. The test series starts. I've got to prep for that. You know, yeah. Get ready and just find out what's going on. So I think actually it's probably better to go, actually, from now on, Friday is the weekend.
Weekend. Official. Yeah. I'm with you, Tommy. Like, 100%, because I'm just thinking of it for me. When I'm actually out doing events, I'm working more or less the whole
would you
day.
Like to have, like, would you like to have Friday as a day off or Monday?
Monday. I'd like Monday off.
Yeah, but then Monday wouldn't be Monday because it'd be part of the weekend. So Monday would be like...
Monday all of a sudden like gets a transformation, gets a glow up and is like, wow, you Monday.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah. It'd be nice for Mondays to get like, oh, can't wait for Monday. I'm going there for the day.
Monday's had a lot of bad press.
Yeah, it's
had a lot of bad press.
Yeah, so yeah, it's about time. I'm all for that. So if we, hold on a minute, this is not a UK-wide thing. It's just a Scottish thing, right, Kedge?
Well, yeah, the Scottish people are looking to, you know, they look like they want to lead the way in this experiment first.
I love it. I mean,
and it's all thanks to COVID. You know, a lot of people say, you know, it's all been negative, but actually there's been quite a few positives coming out of it. And obviously this is another one, you know, people are thinking, actually we can work from home. Maybe we don't need to work as many days. Good. Well done to Scotland for coming up with that. And well done, I've got to also say, to a biscuit company. And this is probably, I would say, the invention of the week. Oh. Right,
a Scottish biscuit.
No, it's not a Scottish biscuit.
Oh, you're just doing general big up. Big up Scotland for 4 day weeks. Big up biscuits.
Big up biscuits, but in particular Morrison's, who have come up with a new biscuit.
And you can't come up with a new biscuit. Like someone once said to me in radio, they said every good idea has been done. Yeah. All you can do is reinvent them in your own way. Right.
Or
so biscuits have been done.
Yeah. Well, yeah. This one is a. Okay, you're right. It's not a new biscuit. It's a combo biscuit.
Ooh, hybrid. Nice.
That's
hybrid.
All right. That counts as new. Yeah, go on.
So, Morrison's have released the Bourbon biscuit.
Okay.
But keep talking. The chocolate cream with the classic custard cream filling.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'll have some of that.
Really? Look at Satch's face. Look at Satch's face. It's lit out.
Yeah, because it's... That's like... I'm just trying to think of the flavours. Because, I mean... The inside of a custard cream is lovely. It's the best bit. And I do think the biscuit in a bourbon is nice. So, like, you know, it's going to be a nice little combo, I think.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. Bourbons are my favourite biscuit, right? So
they're good.
Right? And I think I was with you guys when we bought giant bourbons. You know, like every now and then they sell the massive ones, about the size of like a Kit Kat. It's exactly the same format of a biscuit, but just larger. It looks like it's been in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, but... You know, been made bigger. Anyway, so I used to, as a kid, have a pack of bourbons and have a pack of custard creams, eat one of the bits of the bourbon off on one side and join the custard cream bit off together. So I was unofficially making bootleg. What would these be called? A bourbon and custard together. That's a bastard cream. That's what it's called, right? I would have these bastard creams all the time as a kid.
They're actually known as bourbon creams.
Nah, I think you have to join bourbon and custard together.
I agree. I like Tommy's name.
Bastard creams. Actually, my Tommy, I really like the bastard creams. A good bastard creams like here. What's one there?
A cup of tea.
They would.
I'm all for that. But actually, that's quite a logical combo, I suppose. There's I mean, I thought you were going to say some sort of funky combo. I thought you were going to say it's going to go orange in the middle, like everything's going orange.
Oh,
during
no, I don't
like that. I think the old orange thing's like done now. Like if you're just chucking orange into it, forget about it. But there's one thing that I saw this week, and it's food related. It's not really biscuits, but I thought we all like chips. Who don't like chips?
Yeah.
And it was the world's most expensive French fries. And official as of the beginning of this month. It is a whopping $200 per plate.
Oh, my.
And you can get them from this sort of restaurant in New York City. And basically, they're
made out of potatoes.
Yeah, made out of potatoes. Chipperbeck potatoes. Apparently, they're meant to be really good. Blanched in vinegar and champagne and fried in
goose fat.
I can't eat that.
But they're fluffy on the inside, then they're crispy on the outside, and then they sprinkle it with edible gold and truffle salt.
Yeah, you see, they always do that. And then they go, oh, it's the most expensive burger. Oh, why is it? Because it's served on a diamond plate that you get to keep. Oh, yeah. Well, then it's not the burger, is it?
And that's a Guinness World Record. And even in that same place, that same restaurant, it's called Serendipity 3 is the name of the restaurant. And they've also got the world's most expensive burger at $300. Mm. And they've got the world's most expensive ice cream sundae, which is $1,000.
Okay, let me just combine up your stories then, right, in that way, and go, so have you heard of weird food combinations with fries, like the things that people are now doing? They're having, like, fries dipped in milkshake. You seen that?
Oh, no.
Because it's effectively salty and sweet. Everybody now is going crazy for combinations of combining salty with sweet, and I don't know what the equivalent would be in desi food. I don't really do that. I don't do salty sweet, but people say, like, fries and milkshake, salty hot chips with the cold. People have, like, fries with honey. Have you seen fries with honey poured over it?
No, but it's funny you said that about fries and honey, because I went to Yo Sushi.
Yeah.
And I had, have you had the fries there?
No, hold on. I'm just pointing out that you've just very clearly said Yo Sushi, like you're plugging them. Satch very clearly said Serendipity 3 in New York City, which is where these very expensive burgers are.
And it's, I'm like, Yo. It's not even
Sushi.
Well, Tommy, if you want to give your uncle's restaurant in Birmingham a shout out, you're more than welcome to, mate.
Yeah, My Lahore's in Bradford, which I was eating.
Just a restaurant, mate. Just a restaurant.
I was loving it. Their food's great. And go on. Anyway, go on. So what do you know about...
I've never been to Yo Sushi and had chips there, but I did. I had the fries this time round on the weekend. Oh, my word. They are. You guys, again, would love this. It is a game changer. Check this out. It sounds weird. They're Japanese-style fries. I didn't know Japanese people had fries like this. It's coated in sriracha mayo. Nice.
Right.
Sprinkled with sesame, aionori, and smoky bonito flakes. Oh, my word.
You can't just say aionori
It's a relative distant cousin to Jack, but the aionori is seaweed, apparently, that you get from Japan.
Yeah.
So it's like flaky kind of, but I mean, I didn't even know that was in there, but I had to look up the details of it all. But, oh, it is beautiful. The only thing is they're so thin. You know, and you need about three plates of them, because obviously, you know, they come on the conveyor belt and then in that really small pot.
Yeah.
But my word, game changing chips. It's funny you mentioned the most expensive, because I am now going to say that these are the best chips.
Right. Okay.
Oh, wow.
I had some great chips.
Big statement.
Yeah, started a tweet yesterday because I went, it was my anniversary, 12 years married.
Oh, and, anniversary. Very good.
And we were out and about, so we were up in the Midlands and things like that. And we went to the farmhouse restaurant in Coventry. That's the farmhouse for a tasty, fresh Kashmiri food. The farmhouse in Coventry. It's actually it's a really nice restaurant. But they serve really nice, big, fat chips with their chicken curry, with their lamb chops and all that. Mm. And you can scoop, and it's a perfect crispy on the outside.
Hold on a minute. Chips with a curry?
I've
got the naan, but it just kind of, like, I'll tell you what it was. The kids had the kids' menu. So they had chicken nuggets, chips, macaroni, cheese, that kind of stuff, you know, what they were just snacking on.
Were you dipping the chips in the curry? I bet you did.
Yes, I was.
I knew
it. It was beautiful.
No.
Because two of these chips fill these kids up. They'd fill my boys up because they're like massive. It's like half an alu a chip. But you could hold a door open with these chips. That's how big they are. But a good chip is a game changer. And again, talking of weird combos, I heard about this week. Chips that are fried in Coca-Cola. You marinate it and you fry it. Apparently, again, it really works. It makes them super perfect, crispy, and it's a thing. You Google it. Coca-Cola fried chips.
Will do.
That's Coca-Cola, the drink that refreshes you. I'm going to stop. No more plugs.
But let's talk about things that we've watched. Because I know there's plenty that we've all seen and we want to share with everybody some great things. Who's going first?
I got a plug. Let me kick this off then, because I've got to plug this, because this is we were kindly invited along to watch the brilliant latest film out to hit the cinemas, which is, of course, Suicide Squad. Now, I want to just make it very clear. Suicide Squad is by DC, right? It's not a Marvel movie. So it's not the Avengers, not all that. So anybody doesn't, he's not into all that. So because the DC one, DC are kind of seen as the, trying to want to be rivals to Marvel, but they've nabbed the guy from Marvel to make this one. And you can feel it because it's fun. It's pacey, the way the story is. And I haven't seen Suicide Squad 1 with Margot Robbie and Will Smith.
Yeah,
and
that was the original.
Yeah, I watched a bit of it. I'd kind of caught a bit in the background. But the one thing I heard about this Suicide Squad, this one, is that you don't need to have seen the first one. All you need to know is there's a bunch of these kind of characters, these DC characters, that are all being assembled to take on a bad thing. And let me tell you something, boys. You're going to love this film. It is funny. The music is wicked. The action is off the hook, right?
Yeah.
It's silly. It's silly enough. Like, it's joking. It's taking the mick out of itself. It's not trying to be, like, I mean, the baddie in this film is a giant starfish.
And they I've heard about that.
Yeah. And they make jokes in the film about what starfish is code for, you know, like what slang for. Do you know what starfish is slang for?
No, go on. No.
Oh, you never heard about what a starf, what that is a reference
some sort
to?
Some sort of drugs?
No.
I don't know.
Your bum hole. It's your bumhole. It's your starfish. Honestly.
What?
Yeah. You've never heard that?
No, I've never heard that.
Oh, yeah. You heard about Tracy? She's going to bleach her starfish like that.
Okay, you've just taken it somewhere else.
Yeah. I think you boys are very naive because even in the film, the character goes, you know,
No,
there's no one called Tracy. No one's having their starfish bleached. But in the film, they kind of say, oh, right, we're being attacked by a giant starfish. And one of the characters played by John Cena, he's actually got a very funny, brilliant role in it. And he kind of goes, should we point out here that starfish and is a you know, street term or whatever, a rude term for butthole? And they all look at him and go, no, it's got nothing to do with this whatsoever. But he mentioned it because I was thinking it. And then they mentioned it. So it's funny. It's taking a mick out of itself, taking a mick out of superhero movies.
Right.
It's brilliant. Mm. Honestly, it's really brilliant. And please go and see it in the cinema.
It does look good. It does look good.
Because it's big. You will be entertained.
Wicked. I want to go watch that.
Can I say, a lot more gruesome than Marvel movies. Like, ooh, one guy gets his head sliced by something really sharp and the top of his head just slides off his face.
Lovely.
Do you know what I mean? Like, so you know, you wouldn't see that in a Marvel movie. But it is, honestly, wham, bam, Suicide Squad, wicked film.
I mean, I want to go back and kind of revisit a film that you've already seen, Tommy, and I managed to watch it this weekend, and I thought I'm going to talk about it in the podcast because I think you kind of gave your version of it, and I wanted to say what I thought about it, and it was actually Space Jam 2. I caught it over the weekend. Right. And do you know what? I didn't think it was so bad.
It's
got a lot of bad press. I saw LeBron James got cussed online, basically.
Yeah. I was gonna say you tweeted him and said, are you all right, LeBron?
No, I haven't tweeted him, but I just thought it's really not that bad. Like, it's a good, I watched it on a Sunday afternoon. It is a good Sunday
afternoon.
It done the job that I needed it to do, if you know what
time did you wake up afterwards?
No, I was awake. Like, I slapped it on at about sort of 4 o'clock. It finished at 6. And I was like, do you know what? I'm happy with that at this time of day. It's a good film.
Yeah. Cool. And you know what? The message of it is quite simple and wholesome and, you know, mothers and just very, it's basically LeBron connecting with his son again and understanding that, you know, that relationship and rescuing him and the characters. But I got to be honest, I was too old for Space Jam 1 when it came out. And therefore this one as well, it's more for the kids.
Yeah,
I see how much the kids love it.
And that's one thing I got to say. I think it just connects with the youth. That's what I thought was really good about it. Like, if I was just going in blindly to watch it, you know, and it was something to entertain me, I was just like, I'm not sure. But I think if you're a sort of young teenager watching that, you'd be like, yeah, cool. That's a pretty cool film.
Yeah, and good effects, good little story, exactly. And it's LeBron. LeBron's cool.
Yeah, LeBron's cool, definitely. And another little thing that I did watch this week as well is the new sort of part of the, the Grand Tour series, and they've got another episode out. It's like a one-off special, and it's called Lockdown. And obviously they're in Scotland, so Loch Ness.
Lockdown.
Lockdown. And it's all shot in Scotland. And again, a really good watch. If you like Top Gear and you like what you get up to, it's an hour and a half. It's definitely worth a watch.
Satch, I'm going to go and watch it tonight. Now that you just said that, because after, and obviously after you recommended The Farm to me, I love The Farm so much. Like, I think about it all the time. And I tell you what I think about. I tell you what, let me just quickly think about to this Farm, because you reap what you sow, you know, things take time, and people should take a little leaf of a lesson out of that in anything they're doing. If like us, you're working for yourselves, you're building things up, you're building up companies, you're building up your business. I met Gina today, who works in a cafe here in Sutton Coalfield, and she's just taking it on with her sister. They're Hello, Gina. And actually the workers in that cafe, by the way, who all said, we're going to listen to the podcast because they saw me, with it on my screen, and you think they're just starting out, they're starting a business. It's a graft, and farming will teach you that. Farming will teach you that actually you got to sow your seed, nurture your seed, wait for it, and then reap the rewards. So it teaches you so many life lessons. I love The Farm. So I'm going to watch Grand Tour though tonight. Lock down.
Very good. It's good in a weird sort of way. It was good to see the three guys back there, because I've just watched The Farm, like, and it was just been Clarkson the whole time. It was good to see May and Hammond back, and just getting up to what they usually get up to. Stupidness.
A kid, what do you think, Hedge?
Lovely. Well, my one was it's the big blockbuster that's hit Amazon Prime. It's called The Tomorrow War, starring Chris Pratt. I think it's brilliant. I think it's absolutely brilliant. It follows a mix of present day soldiers and civilians. They're sent into the future to fight this alien army. The aliens are really terrifying, almost predator like. It's a brilliant, it's a 2-hour movie. Get the popcorn out. I think it's brilliant.
I never get the time traveling movies, because you can always just break the whole point of it by kind of going, we'll just go back further and stop anything from happening.
Oh, no, listen, you're going forward. You're going forward because they've already seen.
In this film, they come back to tell them, hey, we come back from the future, and this is what's happened, and everyone's, you know, we're under attack.
But that's what I mean. So they've come back from the future to say, actually, we are being attacked by aliens, so we need to send people into the future. It is very clever how it's based. Actually, there's some brilliant scenes and moments in there where, obviously you get transported from your present day and age and what you look like into the future, but then everyone else has grown older. So therefore, you would then you could interact with your family who have got older,
right?
Without giving too much of the plot away.
No. So really, it's in a way, I could be the same age as my sons.
Correct. Correct.
I'd travel to the future for that. But that's what I mean.
That's quite interesting.
But if you said, hey, come to the future, there's a war going on, I'm like, I'm all right, mate. I'll just leave
you. Well, no, you don't have a choice. You don't have a choice. There is, again, I'm not going to reveal that, but there is a certain criteria and how they're picking people to go there. And if you are selected, you got to go. It don't matter if you can't run, you can't do anything, you got to go.
Oh, wow. Okay. Normally, Kedge, you pick thinking people's films. You like a thinking movie in general, or series.
Yeah.
This doesn't sound like a thing. Is there more to this? That makes it a bit more spiritual.
It is not spiritual, but there are some nice heartfelt moments in it. Like I said, when you meet your family.
Okay. I might give it a go for that. Oh, and one other thing I want to mention, just because you mentioned Amazon Prime, is the new He-Man. The He-Man's out on Netflix.
The cartoon version.
Yeah, but the new 2021 and Amazon Amazon Netflix have plowed all this money into it. But I think you'll like it. I'll be honest. I watched it late last night, episode one.
Is the
He-Man
voice the same?
Very similar. I did look up who plays Skeletor, and the person who plays Skeletor, the voice of it, is someone who I wouldn't expect. Oh, it's your guy from Star Wars. It's one of the guys from Star Wars who does a voice of Skeletor in it. Oh. Quickly Google it, because you'll know who he is and what he plays on it. But what I want to say about this, and this is a massive spoiler that's sort of coming up. I'm going to spoil the series for, or the episode for you. But it's such a big spoiler that I think it forms part of the whole series. Do you mind me doing that? If you don't want to have a spoiler for He-Man the cartoon.
Okay. Crack on, mate. I ain't going to watch it.
He-Man and Skeletor die in episode one.
Oh, that's ruined it a little bit.
No, it hasn't.
That is ruined.
It hasn't. Because the whole series.
But I don't want to watch He-Man if He-Man's not in it.
Exactly, but the whole series is they're bringing in all the other characters, but then I hear He-Man comes back in some way, I don't know how, later on, but they're doing it so that you go, well, you know He-Man.
You picked this up and then crushed it completely.
He has.
Not at all. Quite the opposite, because now you're thinking, oh, that's interesting, because it ain't going to be forever. You know they're going to put a little twist on it. But what's so brilliant is they've updated the graphics and all that kind of stuff of the cartoon, but they kind of kept it true to like a comic book, dark, mysterious world style. They introduce it all really quickly. You get straight into kind of the action, and it's good. You know, it's a good little He-Man watch. So if you loved it back in the day, and I did, I used to get my hair cuts and get rewarded by He-Man characters. I think I've said this before on the podcast. But I didn't want to get my hair cut, which is ironic now. And my mum and dad would buy me a He-Man character, not every time, but every time I wanted one for my haircut. So that was my rule. So I love He-Man. Still got the figures. Love it.
I think the other thing we've got to mention is something that we all saw this week was the trailer for Ghostbusters.
The new Ghostbusters trailer.
Ked sent it in the group for us all to watch, and I watched it. And do you know what? I don't think I'm impressed with it because
you're not.
No, I don't think I'm, because, I mean, for me, Ghostbusters was sort of like
I think Satch missed the Ghostbusters train. How we missed the Space Jam train, I think Satch missed the Ghostbusters train.
I remember Ghostbusters, and Ghostbusters 1 and 2, the original with Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray, brilliant films. Like, they're really good. I still watch them now if they're on telly, because I think they're really good films. Yeah. Where this new one's gone a bit serious, I don't think I'm ready for that from Ghostbusters.
See, that's the interesting thing, because what they've done... I like it, because I think they couldn't have... They made a Ghostbusters version, like, I think it was up with an all-female cast.
With a female cast, yeah.
That was good as well, by the way. I thought that was decent as well.
See, I felt like that's not too far removed. That felt like it was like, well, but Ghostbusters is kind of funny, quirky, silly, right? Yeah. And then they did another funny, quirky, silly modern-day version with all-female cast. But actually what they've done with this Ghostbusters is they've completely gone a bit spooky, scary, and dark on it. Like... Ghost. And I'm like, that's what you need to do. Because the Ghostbusters of the past is in the past. It's great. We love it. It holds its place in time and in movie history. Yeah. This version now has got a chance to make its own mark. Whatever happened to the serious Fresh Prince of Bel-Air? Did that come out? Oh. Do you remember seeing the trailers for that? When they did the serious version where the prince, the Fresh Prince, gets in a proper gang. I remember seeing all the trailers for it. And I know there was a big bidding war amongst Netflix and Amazon and others for it. But like this is the way they're doing it. They're doing it. Yeah. They're doing comedy films a bit more serious.
You're not sure if I'm ready for that.
Yeah. So we could do the same. We could take like a kind of jokey comedy, old school Desi film, Bollywood film, and just give it a serious remake, and we could star in it. You know, what was that one
with Amar Anthony?
Yeah. Exactly. Well, that's got some pretty serious scenes, bro. They use their rings to slide out of a burning building. More serious than that.
True.
Who's rings burning?
Someone's. All of them.
You can imagine Tommy, though, cracking open out of an egg, swinging his cane around.
I'd love to.
And a rotating restaurant. That is so Tommy.
Rotating restaurant. That was Nasib. The rotating restaurant was Nasib. Man. Good. You ever been to a rotating restaurant?
Yes.
The one in Mumbai.
Yes, I've been there.
Nightmare.
That's the one.
The toilet's not where you last left it. So you get off the table... to go walk to the toilet, and it was there when you last went, but it's not there now.
100%. I got lost when I came out of the toilet because my table weren't where it was meant to be. I went and sat on someone else's.
Love it.
God. What have you learned? Tell me what you've learned this week then, okay? As well as great telly, what have you got?
Shall I go for it? Mine's sort of Olympic related, because I thought obviously the Olympics are a big thing right now, and the thing I learned about the Olympics was how much a gold medalist kind of gets money wise, because you know that they get a medal, a gold medal, silver gets a silver medal, and the bronze gets a bronze medal. But then I thought, surely you've got to be getting some sort of dough for that as well, right? Like from whoever it is. So it's a bit weird, because I thought it would be like a sort of set prize fund, but it's not. Each country has sort of like its own allocated amounts for how much you get for gold, and I was quite surprised to see Team USA only give out about 27 grand in pounds for a gold medal. And I thought, that's not that much.
You're right. And you consider...
medal. Team USA. Hold on a minute.
The country that you're from gives you the reward for getting the gold medal, not the Olympics committee.
No. It's basically the Olympics committee for your country. So they sort of like have a little fund for sort of prizes. And I just thought it'd be more in the USA, because they've got such a massive team. Like, would have thought they've got, like, a lot of money. They're really successful. People are doing really well in it. And I thought, 27 grand in pounds, it's not that much.
So say like you're the volleyball team. Would all those all the players get 27 yeah. grand, or is it
20? Yeah. Well, I don't know, actually, if it's a team sport. This is just kind of putting it down to a gold medal. So I'm thinking this might be sort of like an individual. It might be split. So if there's three of you, there's 27 grand between three of you. But then I looked up other countries. I thought, let me see what they're paying. I think Australia was a bit less. And it was about 11 grand pounds for a gold medal. And the one that I thought was, okay, wicked, if I'm going to join an Olympic team, it's going to be for this country, and it's going to be Singapore. And they give a whopping £535,000 for a gold medal. And I thought, okay, that's getting there.
Wow. Still, but I mean, I would
have thought... Yeah, I still don't think it's a lot.
Exactly.
But, you know, I take...
That's a good one to know, though. That is a good one to know.
I mean, you know, it's just one of the, like, you just never really know what sort of money people get. Because don't get me wrong, I know that, you know, people sort of come back from the Olympics and you're like a household name, and, you know, like you're on the TV and people come around your house and ask for autographs and blah, 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 blah. But I thought, how much money do these guys actually get? But then I'm thinking, it's not even really about the money sometimes. You're just doing something for your country.
India. How much do India give?
Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't have a clue.
I know. I've got it here. I just had a little Google of it as you were saying that, right? Mm. The Indian Olympic Association, the IOA, has set cash prizes of 75 lakhs or $100,000 for gold medalists and 40 lakhs and 25 lakhs for silver and bronze, obviously, respectively. So India pay more for their gold than... America, but actually we love gold in India. They're probably melted down and make a chain out of it. Make some nice candy. Where's your gold medal now? I'm wearing it.
Exactly.
It's my wedding set. Be lovely.
Or they've just put it on my chips. Edible gold.
Gold. Yes.
At what restaurant though, Satch? That's the question. Is it Serendipity 3 in New York by any chance?
Nah, they haven't paid that much, Tommy. We can't mention them twice.
Okay, not two mentions. All right. my things I learned. You're going to love this, Kedge. I thought of you when I came across this week.
Go on.
Look out, ladies and gentlemen, for new music from Michael Jackson.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
LaToya Jackson has said there's about 100 songs that have not been released that they found on hard drives. 100 songs. Oh. And Sony have bought the rights to it. $250 million.
It's not good.
Why is it not good? Sure. You know the man. It's like hearing that like an amazing chef has left a bit of his darka behind.
No, take it.
Start playing with it.
Go on, Sat, you first. Then
I'm going to give you what I think. Because at the moment, as we know, recently two rappers that have passed away, Pop Smoke passed away, maybe a year or 2 years ago. And then DMX was, a few months ago. And both of them have recently had albums put out. And I'm listening to it and I'm like, no, this don't sound the same, because it's as if the song's not finished. Do you know they've kind of...
But with respect, Satch, we're not talking about rap. We're talking about, someone who is...
The thing about
Michael Jackson. That's Elvis Presley, Michael Jackson.
I totally get that. But I just think it's just going to be a bit of patchworking, and where we're so used to listening to like pieces of music that are made so sort of complete, and, you know, like to perfection with his sort of stamp.
Exactly. Michael Jackson was such a perfectionist, and people got annoyed working with him because he wouldn't put out a record. Even, you know, you talk to people who are still around and they just go, Akon, I think, famously worked with Michael Jackson. And he said it just took forever to, you know, get a track out because he would just not agree to anything. And I think, you know, at the moment, I've mentioned it before, I think, as well, but, you know, famously Billie Jean was like mixed down, what was it, like 91 times, and he went mix number two or something, you know. And it was just like they were there for a reason on this hard drive because they're not finished. And the previous album that they did do with Michael Jackson with unfinished songs, it just didn't sound finished. Do you know what I mean? It just sounded a bit rubbish.
That's why I think, for example, when people, like, you know, these artists do pass away, I think we should just celebrate them for what they kind of have out.
What about?
Like, for example, I don't think I want to hear any more Biggie Smalls making new music. Do you know what I mean? I'm happy with his albums and what I've got of his already.
What they've given already to the
world. Yeah, do you see what I mean? Because, yeah, I mean, we've actually heard the odd song with a verse of him on it, and I'm like, I'm not too sure.
As you know, as an artist, they actually wanted to give more. So maybe you, with your, no, don't spoil the legacy. Oh, I like the music out there at the moment. Yeah, no, I don't want any more music. No, you lot, really what you're doing is quite selfish, because you're saying, hang on a minute, what about a new generation? Yeah, what about if, like, okay, I don't know, what if a cool grime or, you know, rap producer or like a Pharrell came along, got the Michael Jackson vocals and did a proper little 2021-22 job?
They did,
job.
Though. Pharrell did it with Michael Jackson. It just sounded rubbish. It didn't sound good.
I think, yeah, as much as what you're saying, Tommy, is right, they want to give more to the people. I also do believe they want to be alive. So, you know. That's the end of that argument.
I you know what, I'm being slightly devil's advocate, but I do.
No, of course you are. No, I get excited by it as well, and I hope that it is good. I really hope. But so far, I think it's been rubbish.
But I do think a true artist, in any way, shape, or form, from football, sport, or you know, or even music, they feel and have something in them which the rest of the world isn't. It doesn't have at the moment, which is what makes them unique. Because they go, I remember when Michael was talking about Michael Jackson, Michael, like I'm on first name basis. When he said about the kind of hats and the snares and the sound, so that, and he really wanted to cut through. And it's got to be a certain sound because he can hear it in his mind, but the producer has to find it. The person has to find that sound. I love all that. I love when the artists are that way. So I'm with you.
Agree.
But I'm just saying it's coming because Sony have bought the rights, and I don't think they'd spend £250 million for a load of music just to stay on discs. I think it will make its way out there. So it's happening.
Nice. Right. Well, the things that I learned today, this week, today actually, is and I think you guys, I'm sure, will be joining me in celebrating this. It's my 1 year birthday of breathing through the nose.
Oh,
today.
Well done. Well done to your NASA. Well done.
Thank you.
Let me shove a candle up it.
I was expecting a little song. So today, 1 year ago, I went on this journey of breathing through the nose all the time, as much as I can. So obviously you only breathe through the mouth when you talk, but you know, exercising, everything, sleeping, just generally resting, and what it does to your body and how it changes, you know, all the metabolism and all everything. And honestly, I can say that, you know what, you've got to give it a go. I know I sound like an absolute plonker for banging on about this all the time, but it does change. Your blood pressure comes down, your heart rate slows down, you're breathing better, you're sleeping better, your physical condition's better, your exercise.
I think you're virtually dead is what he's saying, because your blood pressure slows down, everything's going down, you're asleep for a really long time, like forever.
Yeah, you sleep like an absolute baby. But here's the fact that I'm going to leave you with, which again, this is mind-blowing, and I thought I'm going to share it with you because I've known this, and actually I think this is so true. But you know how people say, oh, you know, you lose weight by sweating and by burning it off, right?
Yeah,
that's the common, everyone talks about it, right? But actually, we exhale weight. For every 10 pounds of fat loss, 8.5 of it is breathed out through your lungs.
And then
the rest of it is urinated and sweated out. I'm just going to leave you with that.
So 80% of weight loss is from hover.
From hover.
So I'm not overweight. I'm just full of air.
We'll come and squeeze you, mate. We'll give you a little full of gas.
Right. It's true, though. I tell you what, after a good bud, you do feel a little bit lighter.
You ever done a bud
and a Degard at the same time? You ever done a bud and a burp at the same time?
Yeah, I'm sure we have. Yeah.
You guys, that's three stone lost right there.
Straight out.
Yeah.
Now, very, very quickly to your point, though, Kej, and I've got to say, because since you've been banging on about it, I've been trying to sort of go down that path. And obviously, I do yoga every day. And I've got to say, doing yoga in the mornings helps you when you go in the gym with your breathing. And I've noticed a big difference in when I go to the gym now, because you can actually keep up your breath. Like, you're more conscious of how you're breathing. Before, I wasn't doing that.
And normally, a lot of people don't know this, but normally you breathe about 18 breaths a minute. And what you've got to try and aim to is try and get that down to five. And that's when you're
the killer.
you want to, no, that's when you're really regulating it, and you know, that's when your blood pressure will drop, your heart rate will drop, and it's very good for you. But obviously not everyone can do it. I'm not telling everyone.
12 seconds of breath. 12 seconds, you're saying.
Yeah, so I mean, the questions you're asking me leads me on to another point, but yeah, so the optimum level of breathing is 5.5 seconds.
Right, there you go.
In and out, 5.5. Yeah. That is what optimum breathing for a human being feels like, if you can do that.
Well, hold on. If you're breathing every 5.5, that's more than five breaths a minute, whatever it is.
No,
that's,
not breathing, like in for five, out for five.
Oh, okay. Like that. Yeah, 5.5 one way. Okay, look at that. I've got to say, the breathing through the nose thing, I think there is a lot to that. There is a lot to it. Even from, not, I haven't read the book that you've read, because you've read Breathe, isn't it?
Is
it Breathe?
Yeah.
Very cleverly. Breath, that's it.
Yeah.
But when I'm running and I just breathe through my nose, you can go for longer. I can't explain. And honestly, this is me saying it. I'll be the first to kind of poo-poo what Ken is saying. I'd want to shoot it down. Yeah. But I'm like, but as you're running, you're like, oh, and at this point of the run, because obviously I only do 5K runs, but when I get to about three and a half, I'm so like, oh man, I just want to get home now. Like this last K and a half is going to be, but actually you're like, well, that's weird. I'm all right.
Still going.
I'm
all right. Welcome to that world, the beautiful world of keep on going.
Yeah. But just to point out, Kedge's nostrils are three times the size of the average person. So in fairness, Kedge, you're getting a lot of air through there. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, you're probably breathing in my fat that I'm losing when I'm running.
Yeah, don't stand too close to me. I don't want your fat.
Be careful. Thank you, as always. Brilliant, brilliant facts. Brilliant podcast. Love it, as always.
Are we back to normal next week, Tommy? Where are you going to be in the world?
No, I'm back to normal. Yeah, because this test will end on Sunday, India versus England. So I hope you're cheering on the Bharat Army and Team India. And that ends on Sunday. And then we're all right for a couple of days until the next test starts. Don't ask me where that is. Headingley, could be Oval, could be Lords. It could be Edgbaston. They're the other places, as well as Nottingham. So yeah, we'll be traveling around the country and hopefully coming to see you soon. So until then, we'll catch you later. Boys, have a good weekend. Later.
Nice one. Have a good one.
Layers.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.